our sins. Salvation is the free gift of God. And then thirdly is the law of self-preservation. And in Mark 8:35, we read, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Do you see what we're saying here? God has a plan for you. He has a gift for you that only you have. You need to be going about finding what it is and doing it. And by doing so, you save your life. Your life is not your own. Your life needs to be placed in the hands of Yahweh. Yahweh needs to guide each and everything that you do and you say. He's a loving Father. He's a very merciful and forgiving Father. But He does have some limits. And anybody that teaches you there's not limits, and anybody that teaches you that there's not judgment, and that there's not punishment for doing bad things, don't know what they're talking about. They haven't read the Word of God and don't come close to understanding it. There is those things as judgment. There is those things as sowing what you reap. You see these other biblical principles that is good to know and good to consider? The great majority of us think of real life in terms of how easy we can make it, how comfortable it can be for us. A little bit of luxury don't help. Don't hurt, excuse me. And then security. Each one of us wants those things. We need to face the fact that one can have all of these things that I've just said in abundance and still not be happy. You understand? You can have an easy life, a comfortable life, a luxury life, security, and still not be happy because we've left God out of the picture. All of those things is things that people work toward. They won't. All of their efforts, seems like, are directed toward material things, not spiritual things. But true happiness is only going to come through the spiritual. And some people go through a whole lifetime learning that lesson. But the quicker you learn it, the better off you're going to be. Material things do not bring permanent, lasting happiness and contentment and self-worth. Gadgets do not have the capacity to satisfy the human soul. And there is a vast contrast between the popular ideas of today and the philosophy that Jesus taught. Boy, the thinking today is the more of these little electronic gadgets that I have, I'm surely going to be happy then. Boy, Microsoft or Apple is going to come up with something really neat, And once I have it, oh, I'm going to be happy then. Things are going to change. I'm going to finally be satisfied. No. Not going to bring lasting satisfaction. Just not going to do it. Gadgets are not going to do it. Materialistic things is not going to do it. And I'm telling you this as experience. Almost 70 years have taught me that's not where it's at. Materialistic things do not bring lasting happiness and contentment. It never has.
It never will.
Yeshua, our Lord and Savior, was taught to serve Yahweh and Him only. Yeshua was taken to the house of worship, God's sanctuary, every Sabbath by His parents. It was a every Sabbath occasion. Because Royal Law number 4 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Man can't make it holy. Man can't make Sunday holy. God made the seventh day of the week, and only it, as the one day in 7 that is holy and sanctified, set apart for worshiping Yahweh. God made it holy, and it is forever and ever holy. Yeshua was taught all things, as your Bible will tell you. Yeshua never spoke anything that He did not hear and was taught of by His Father, by Yahweh. Yeshua asked His disciples to give up their occupation, didn't He? When He came and was here on this earth, He asked His disciples, His followers, to give up their occupation. And He said, follow Me. And that's what He's saying to you today. He's saying, I want you to follow Me. I want you to do My commands. Know My laws and do them. Know My laws and keep them. He asked His disciples and His followers to give up their occupation and follow Him. And He had did the same Himself. He didn't ask His disciples to do something that He wouldn't do or that He hadn't done. He gave up His occupation, natural occupation of being a carpenter's son and a carpenter. And He went about preaching the kingdom was coming. Become a child of God and remain there. Be a part of the kingdom to come. Yeshua asked His disciples to make family relations secondary to the work of the kingdom. Now, do you grasp that that's what He wants you to do? Make family selections, family relations, ties, make it secondary to serving God. Jesus did. When his family at certain occasions came to see him, they wanted to break into what he was doing at the moment because they thought he ought to be resting or doing something different than he was doing. And Jesus said to him, "These that you see around me, they are my brothers and my sisters." And Jesus had long ago, as a child, let his parents know at instances, "I must be about my Father's business." Jesus was divine. He was a human as you, but much more so. He was divine. And he recognized who he was and what he had to do. And he was willing to do it. But it is very much in a natural sense. Family relations was secondary to the work of the kingdom or to God. Yeshua also asked his disciples to forsake safety for danger. He had done so. The religious element, after they found out about him and his teachings, they were trying to hunt him down, trying to do bad to him, perhaps even kill him at times. But he was asking his followers to be willing to forsake safety for danger. Jesus never tried to bribe people by offer of the easy way. He did not offer them peace. He offered them glory as sons and daughters of God. Jesus offered his disciples poverty, misunderstanding, criticism, and a cross. He came not to make life easy, but to make people great. Yahweh became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that he might be our Savior and that he might fulfill the plan of Yahweh for his life and for all of mankind. You know, we have other people in the Bible that made sacrifices and looked to God for their help and guidance and was determined to do the plan of God for them. We look to John the Baptist, who was willing to live the life that he lived and preach the kingdom of God coming, and to, in essence, pave the way for Yeshua to be born and to come into the world and do the calling of God on his life. The priest and the Levite, have you ever thought about them? The priest and the Levite that came along, and they came across a man that had been beaten and robbed and left for dead at the side of the road. Ever thought about that priest and Levite? They didn't evidently take to heart how God wanted them to react to their neighbor. And that person that was left there was their neighbor. Just as anybody that you come across that's got some kind of problem and needs your help, then that is your neighbor. And God wants you to help them. Think about the priest and the Levite. Think about the circumstances. This was a Samaritan man that had been beaten and robbed and left by the side of the road to die. And yet, the scripture makes it clear that this was the neighbor. That the priest and the Levite had a chance to react to the neighbor. And you know, God's law lets us know of the relationship that we should have to God and to our neighbor. That obviously doesn't mean necessarily the one that you're sitting with in church or the one that believes exactly like you do. God wants you to be a shining light for Him throughout all your life and all of your circumstances that He brings to you. And treat people like God's Word lets you know you should treat them. Part of it is in His royal law. The rich young ruler. You ever thought about him? The rich young ruler in the Bible? And he says to Jesus, "What must I do to have eternal life?" This rich young ruler was saying to Jesus, in other words, what do I have to do to be judged worthy to go to heaven? To live eternally? To be a child of God? What must I do? And what did Jesus say to him? Do you know the commandments? How many commandments is there? Obviously, 10. And Jesus was saying, do you know the commandments? Obviously, he's saying, it's very important that you do the commandments, that you be obedient to God in all of His commandments and what He says for you to do. There's the law. There's the royal law. It's no higher. What we're speaking of today is other biblical principles also. But Jesus said to this rich young ruler, do you know the commandments? And the rich young ruler said, yes. And I've kept all of these. I've did all of these since I was young. And what was the result of all of it? Jesus said, in essence, do for those less fortunate than you, give to the poor, and then follow me. It doesn't sound real hard, but evidently, all of the commandments, keeping them and obeying all of them and them only, was not quite satisfactory to Yeshua. Because he said, if you would be perfect, give to the poor, the orphans, the widows, help them out, and then follow me. Walk in my ways. Do as I teach you. But you know the bottom line? The rich young ruler didn't want to hear that because he was rich. And his riches evidently meant way too much. Remember I said materialistic things and how you get them and what they mean to you, how much they mean to you? It cannot be above the importance of God. It cannot be above your spiritual relationship with God. It won't work. It won't satisfy. It won't give you peace and happiness. The sooner you realize that, the better. And make whatever changes that you need to make. Jesus was saying, what's utmost important is to follow God. Do His laws, keep His commandments, get in His plan. The rich young ruler didn't accept Yeshua's philosophy of life. And Yeshua heard it from the original source. If we were rich, if we would live a rich, full, and satisfying Christian life, if we would be true followers of Christ, we must say to self, no. And to Christ and Yahweh, yes. We must say no to our selfish desires and materialistic ways. We must learn how to be more like God and less like ourselves. If we're to have true happiness and have a rich and satisfying and full and complete and rewarding life. We must say no to our natural love of ease and comfort. We must say no to every course of action that is based on selfishness. Bad word. Selfishness. We must say no. We must learn how to say no to certain of our self-seeking and rewarding tendencies and our self-will. We must let Yahweh, His will, lead us and what we do. We must say no to the instincts and the desires that prompt us to touch and to taste and to handle forbidden things. What was in the Garden of Eden is only a couple of things that was bad, and God spoke it to His creation, but they could not abide and did not abide in that. And as a result, they were kicked out of the perfect Garden of Eden. The perfect existence, as a result of their actions, they were kicked out of there. Never to return again. Never allowed to be there again. And then had to undergo the punishment, other punishment, that God had for their act of disobedience. We must say no to the desires that prompt us to touch and taste and handle forbidden things. But we must say yes to the will of God and to the call for service to Yahweh and service to Him only. I'd like to ask if you would at this time to stand with me. And we're going to read together the blessings of God to us and our blessings to each other. Let's read this together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this service. We thank You for this message. We thank You for the ones that are here. And Heavenly Father, we ask that You will lead them back to Your house of worship. Heavenly Father, bless each one and let these words that they've heard soak into their heart and their mind, their life. Let it become a part of them. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for each and every part of this message. And in all these things, we give You praise and honor and glory. In the name of Your loving Son, Yeshua, we ask these things. And amen. And you're dismissed. We all want to go across the street and have lunch together. If there's anyone that would like to be anointed with oil and prayed for anything that you have, if you'll come up right now, and I'll do that. Everybody have a blessed and wonderful Sabbath.
Don't get old and do all this trouble.
Huh?
Go ahead and pray for my prostrate so this time.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're going to all pray for Ray and anoint him with oil. So everybody that wants to help pray for Ray, y'all come up and let's lay hands on him and anoint him. Because he's going to go into that surgery Wednesday. Let's go out here out front. Right, stand right out here. Okay. Anybody else need this? Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning. And Heavenly Father, we know that You love us. And we know that You want the best for us. And Heavenly Father, we know that You can heal anything that we're faced with. And right now, Lord, we do as we read in James, we call the elders, we call those that have faith and believe that You are the greatest of physicians and healer. And right now we lay hands on Ray, Lord, and we let You know that we recognize Your word and what Your word says to do in all situations of life. And right now we're doing that. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Ray and Midge. And Lord, we ask Your blessings on their life. And Heavenly Father, right now we ask for that complete healing and restoration, Lord, that only You can do. And we ask that You guide all the ones that have anything to do with Ray and as he has this procedure. Lord, we ask for it to be a good result. And we ask for Your touch in all these things. We praise You and give You honor and glory. In Yeshua's name we ask. And amen. Amen.
They do.
Okay.
All right. That's enough.
Okay.
Now you gotta pray for somebody. Okay, you want some? You gotta touch somebody and pray for them.
Okay.
That's how it works.
Yeah. Select somebody and lay your hands on them.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Here, I had Nat on my mind anyway.